All right, we're going to have a teaching. The title of this teaching today is When to Draw Aside. All right, when you're sensing that things are changing and maybe you aren't sure what you should do, then this is the time to draw aside. Sometimes it's at the end of one thing and the beginning of another. It is not to go back to the vomit. Proverbs 26:11. It says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. All right, that same scripture is repeated in 2 Peter 2. Verse 22. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed her wallowing in the mire. I looked up just the word vomit in the Strong's. It means to spew or food disgorged. Yeah, Jesus said this. This is Revelation 3:16. Now, verse 15, he says, well, he's talking to the angel, 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of all the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Well, the word spew there means vomit. What's he talking about here? Returning to the old ways. Returning to your old mindsets. Because, well, that's over. I'll just go back to what I know. The dog returns to the vomit. The sow goes back to the mud. Okay, John 21. So this is where Satan comes at us at, well, you know, that's over. You know, this ain't going nowhere. You know, won't you just go back to doing what you used to doing? You know, he's the voice of reason. You ever realize that, right? He tries to reason you, just like he did with Eve. He tries to reason you out of the Word of God. Just like Paul said, my one fear is that when I'm gone, that just like the serpent beguiled Eve, he's going to beguile you too. Reason with you. He'll talk you out of it. And for a time, if you come out of it, it feels free and it feels easy. But then it's dead. No life of God in it. I know, because I've been there. It got the pressure off me. And it was okay for a while. But then it was just dead. It's like, Lord, you don't hear me anymore. What's going on here? Ever been there? Well, Jesus said he's going to vomit that stuff out. It has no place. All right, 21. This is after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He'd already appeared to him. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Well, what was he before Jesus come on the scene? What was he doing when he met Jesus? He was fishing, but he wasn't very good at it then because he didn't catch nothing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. He pulled his whole team off. All the apostles of the church. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Huh. Yeah. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus, it doesn't surprise me, isn't it? They got all completely off track. They couldn't even tell it was him anymore. And Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. In other words, get back into your right mindsets. Get back into your right minds. Get back to thinking the kingdom, not fishing. I didn't call you to be fishers of fish. I called you to be fishers of men. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but it was as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. So he's going to starve before Jesus showed up. There's bread. There's fish. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Think about that question. When the temptation to return to the vomit. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto me, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? What preceded Peter's actions? He denied the Lord, didn't he? He denied the Lord three times. So he's dealing with him in three different occasions. Lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. He's talking to Peter about his death. He would die for the Lord. They even turned him upside down, hung him on a cross. This spake he, signifying by what death he would glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. See, the Lord, he knows it all. There's not anything that we can hide from him. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So, we see here, God had to deal with Peter. Now, I want to look over to Matthew chapter 16. I think this is significant because this was his call. Jesus is talking about in Matthew 16. You ought to know this one by now. Starting with verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, well, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yet he denied him three times. Yet he went on about his business as if Jesus hadn't ever come. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How is he going to do that? He's an apostle. He's going to build God's church. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whichever you shall bind in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So this was his calling. All right, now with that, let's go to Acts chapter 1. Let me tell you, I know from experience, you are never going to be happy, even though you may be miserable. You're never going to be happy away from what God has called you to do. I don't care how hard it is. You will not ever be happy going back to the vomit. You will not prosper. You will not do well. Then you got to face him at the end and thinking, oh my gosh. All right, let me get a drink here. Acts chapter 1. The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. See, they didn't know what to do. They went back to fishing. What did Jesus do? Send them to the upper room. What did they do in the upper room? They tarried. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, I made my marker here. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Sometimes Jesus is probably going, have you not heard a word I've said this whole time I've been with you? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, you're going to receive power to do what I called you to do. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. When they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus with all his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry, but now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. That's what happened to Judas. It was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue a Seldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men, which have companied with us all the time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto this same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that we may take part, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, and he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So here they are tarrying. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation from under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up, he finally got it. Empowerment. He stood up with the 11, lifting up his voice, and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy in thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. The sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, should rise up Christ, or raise up Christ, to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and then unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Isn't that the first word I read to you? Isn't that kind of what he's saying here? See, it's their only hope. We are their only hope. Peter was their only hope that day. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, we don't need to get in despair today, because we're about to come into this type of atmosphere. Things are going to change. I believe the devil's going in the pit. I believe the influences that have influenced men for evil is going away. Well, there'll still be natural men that have to be taught. They'll have to learn. I mean, wherever they went, chapter 3 talks about the going to the temple. There's the man at the gate. Told him to rise up and walk. The power. See, before though he came aside and let God endue him with power, what'd he do? He went back to fishing. This doing his old thing. Nothing ain't ever gonna happen. We thought Jesus was, gonna be who was gonna be the one, but I guess he isn't. And he'd had a revelation from God about it. Have you ever known people that were seemingly great in the body of Christ and they turned their back on God and walked away? I just don't understand that. All right. So Jesus sent them to the upper room. So when you don't know what to do, don't turn back. It's the time to pull aside and say, Okay, Lord, what next? What do you want me to do next? I remember when we came out of the gym, 2 years in the gym. I think we prayed for about 6 or 7 weeks on Sunday morning. And that's when the Lord spoke to me, go on television. It took me about a year to even get that thing together. Then I went on television for a short time, run out of money, and so for 10 years I didn't do anything. Until one day I was praying in the Spirit. We were moving. We had sold our house, and it fell through. We had packed everything up. Somebody lent us a trailer, and we had packed everything up. Hardly had anything in the house. There was a recliner in there, so I didn't have anything to do. So I sat in that chair and I was praying in the Spirit. I'd been praying a couple hours and I heard the Holy Ghost say, You quit! I come up out of that chair. I said, What? Just like that. Guess what? I got myself in gear and I got back to, started producing. Went on the air. Been on the air ever since. See, we got to hear from the Holy Ghost. We can't just go back to the vomit. We can't just go back to what we used to do because we don't know what else to do. He didn't pull you out of it to send you back to it. Just remember that Especially when things get hot and the pressure's on. And you got somebody near going, you just say, I rebuke you, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. You say we're not the things of God, but the things of men. Now, Jesus probably didn't say it right to Peter's face, but I mean, come on. He had problems with Peter. But you know what? Peter was strong. Peter just didn't know it. He was strong in all the wrong ways. And that's why what we're walking through, God is making us strong in the right ways, not strong in the wrong ways. We've all been bumbling idiots out there in the world and made a failure in different things that we've tried and different things that we've done. This is about God showing you His way of doing things, not yours. I mean, so much of my problem that I had not knowing what to do in ministry was the old garbage that I learned in church. Old traditional ways, you got to get hooked up with somebody and you got to come up through the ranks. No, Lord said, no, you're going to the backside of the desert. That's how I do it. And you have to put up with people saying, you ain't got nothing. If you did, you'd be running 50, 60, 70, 80, 5,000. That's not success. That's man's plan. That's man's works. That's man's ways. Please get a hold of what I'm saying today. Because that old religious thinking will screw you up and trip you up. Take it from someone that's walked the road, and I know what I'm talking about. Have to hear preachers treat you like you are nothing. You're not worth anything. You're not even worth consideration, much less being in ministry or doing anything for God. Oh, but your husband, that's different. I remember a family member, or kind of a outlaw family member. I was on prime time out there talking the same stuff I've been teaching all along. He said, why ain't Danny on there? I said, because the Lord didn't tell Danny to go on there. See the thinking? And nothing against men. It's about whatever God tells you to do and calls you to do, you do it. You do it per His instruction, not per some man's instruction. You're going to stand before God, not that person. And it just so happened, the person that was the host out there, he mistook everything I said. He didn't get nothing, as wife did. So, you know what? I would rather be a lone wolf and be bringing what God told me to do and doing what God told me to do than all the preachers in China. In other words, all the tea in China. I would rather be one that, Lord, I did what you told me to do, and here I am, than to have masses and be doing my own religious thing because of what I learned in church. I didn't plan to say all of that, but maybe you need to hear that. Because all of us have thought, well, bless God, God says I'm a this and a so-and-so, so I ought to be getting out there and beating the bushes and send my letters out and start, you know, revving up some activity here. Get me some money coming in. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, this is what goes on. I even had that advice that I needed to do that. The Lord didn't tell me to do that. And it's never been about the money for me. But I did say this. The first inkling that there was really something that the Lord wanted me to do, I said, well, I ain't going to be no pauper doing it. And I haven't been. It ain't holy to have holes in your shoes, let me tell you. It's not holy to be without. It's unholy. He's redeemed us from poverty, sickness. All right, let me get back on track here. Acts 13. If you just read this scripture, these scriptures, you see how God trains his own. It's not seminary ways. Even rhema ways. Oh my God, I've hit the sacred whatever. And I love Brother Hagin. He taught us more than anybody's ever taught us as far as just listening to other teachers and stuff. But just because Rhema teaches you to do it this way, you better, if God tells you to do it other than what Rhema says, you better do it. You better do what God says. See, we get ingrained with the teachers instead of God. They're teaching God, but we get enamored with them. That's why Paul said, well, one says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this, I'm of that. The focus is wrong. It's not about a person. It's about, yes, it is about a person, Jesus Christ. Not a human person. Not getting your eyes on some leader, even President Trump. As much as we love him and as much as we know he's in the forefront and he has a big part to play, we can never forget in all of this that God is the one. This is his plan. And that's what I have, the biggest problem I have with all of them. It's but God. But God. You ain't doing anything or nothing without God. I don't care how looking glass or whatever technology you have. Time travel, I don't care. If you leave God out, you're not going to win. See, that's what I like about Q. He's mentioned over and over about it's biblical. Even several places about putting on the armor of God and acknowledging this is a battle between darkness and light. This is not just among mere men. This is a spiritual battle. This is God's plan. All right, Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch, verse 1, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, Simeon, there was Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them. See, they're waiting on God to know what to do. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Do you know in the church, it's just as political as the political scene. Pastors that think they're God Almighty, and you ain't doing nothing unless you do it their way, their time, their say. I'm not saying don't come under authority and don't do things right. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you better listen to God. And if some leader's telling you to do something and God's saying doing something else, you better obey God rather than men. I don't care if you understand it or not. A lot of times you don't understand it. But you know when he's spoken to you and tells you to do something, you best do it. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. When they had gone through the isle unto Pamphus, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country. Huh, how about that? They got a sorcerer on the board here. Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, he called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. See, they had witchcraft working in their government too. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. What's that about? See, he's on an apostolic team, and there'd be some demons around. There'd be some stuff going on. He went home to mama. I'm going to go home. I don't want this mess. This is not what I signed up for. But when they departed from Perga, okay, I read that. Well, they came to Antioch and Poseidon and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent them unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. With a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And let me say this. You don't have to be plugged into some pastor for God to fulfill what he has for you to do. Now he may say, you go to this church and you stay there and you do this and that until I say, go. See, I thought that for a long time, and that's what tripped me up for so long, because I thought I had to be under that person, because that's kind of what we were taught. Even the word of faith kind of taught that way. And so you feel like, well, you're under the bondage of this person, whether you rise or fall. No, no, no. You're under God. He raises up one and pulls down another. About the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised him up unto them David to be their king. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which fulfilled all my plan. Not of Paul or Apollos or this one or that one, but of God. David listened to God. Saul listened to the people because he was scared. He didn't listen to God. He went against God. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he. In other words, don't look to me. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. I'm saying, I'm preparing a way for the Lord. Look to him. But behold, there cometh one after me whose soles of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whensoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning them. See, they were a religious system, and they could not hear the prophets proclaiming. They couldn't even recognize Jesus when he came. In fact, they plotted to take him out. And thou be found no then thou they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre, but God raised him from the dead. He was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And that's concerning that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of the prophet. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. You know what? If everybody had their focus on Jesus, we wouldn't have the divisions that we have today. The divisions we have today are nothing but doctrinal divisions. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath day came also a whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. See, some of the leaders embraced them and encouraged them in the grace of God, and the others just... So it don't make any difference. Whatever God tells you to do, you do it with all your might. And it don't matter if somebody likes it or not or criticizes it or not. You just keep on trucking, doing what God tells you to do. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. Said, we've had it with you Jews. So hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to ends of the earth. See, Paul's being defined here. God sent him to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised prosecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. See, we have to make a choice here. We're going to go God's way. Totally. Absolutely. But old John Mark, he couldn't cut it. He couldn't cut it. When you don't know what to do, this is the time to pull aside until you do know what to do. Not returning to what you used to do or what you've been doing, but seeking God on what he would have you do now. If you're sensing a change, we as a nation are turning a corner. We're coming into a new part of this, just like that word said, new part of the play, a new part of the movie, a sequel to the movie, or whatever you want to call it. There's going to be less truthers, but the truthers that are going to be out there are going to be more informative. Don't let slip the things that God has said to you about your ministry. Yes, everyone has one. Each has one, has their place in the body of Christ. All have something that God wants them to do. It's up to you, however, to get before the Lord and spend enough time with him to impart to you instructions. Well, Lord says, I'm a pastor, so I'm just going to jump out there and just build a church and rent a building or whatever and start having services, start advertising. That's usually the way they do it. Yeah. God doesn't lead by leaps and bounds, but usually a step at a time. He will give you one thing to do and see if you are even able to obey him in that. I mean, if you won't obey him in little things, you're not going to obey him in big things. And if you can't prove yourself, that was Danny's word this morning, if you can't prove yourself, then that you can be faithful in what's little, God's not going to trust you with what's big. I'm just telling you right now. All right, he will give you more responsibility if you do prove yourself. And as you're a steward, you must be proved faithful. Jesus spoke to Peter before he went to heaven the whole plan for him. God may tell you what he wants you to do, but I can bet, per my experience, that God will give you only a step of that plan at a time. You talk about some of the hardest years, our couple of years in the gym with nobody. The janitor would come in, set up empty chairs, and we'd have church. Danny'd do his music. We'd both, that's back when I was singing with him, and then I'd get up and teach. Then the janitor would come in, put all the chairs up, probably laughing behind our back the whole time. I don't know. The only time he'd ever come in and sit in is if we had somebody show up. And I can't tell you how many times I'd just say, Lord, I just can't go there again. He'd just give me strength to just pick it all up, load all that old heavy equipment up, take it all out. Then he had to set it all up, he'd pack it all up. Did that for 2 years. But at the end of that 2 years, then I didn't know what to do. That's when we set aside, stepped aside. All right. You still have to be proven. Let's look at a couple of scriptures on that. This is 1 Corinthians 4:2. And then I'm watching churches around here. Big old church out there between Middle and Odessa, I won't even call the name. They are shooting pastors out like machine gun bullets. I'm going, I don't understand, Lord. All right, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Most of the time you're going, Lord, when? Why? He said, when you're found faithful. It's not always a good thing, easy thing. It's always a good thing to wait on the Lord, but never easy. Acts 15, go back to where we were. Starting with verse 36 there. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So they got to have somebody you can trust. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed on to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And as they went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. In chapter 16, they get thrown in jail. He casts the spirit out of the slave girl. And the leaders got angry because their source of money was dried up now. And so they get thrown in prison. He chose right, didn't he? Him and Silas sang praises to God even though they'd been beaten. What happened? The angel delivered them. John just couldn't hack it. You never hear about Barnabas again in the scriptures. Don't know what happened to him. I think he chose wrongly, though. God's plan is working in our lives is a lot like what our nation is going through. We wanted it done years ago, but if they had just done it quickly, it would not have changed our world. We have to have the right mindset. See, we cannot go forward in our ministry or anything else until our mindsets accommodate what God has for us to do. See, if you don't have, like Paul and Silas had that mentality, well, I'm not going to be dismayed if they throw me in jail and beat me. See, John, he saw all this demon stuff going on. He said, no. This is where I draw the line. I'm not going any further. Well, God can't use that. God is going to make sure that you are mentally to the place that you fit. I'm not teaching much different than I taught when I began. But I'm a lot more mature than I was back then. I know a whole lot more. See, you've got to have your mindsets in the right place. Well, you can't be dissuaded. You can't be pulled off. You won't go back to the vomit. All right. This is what God is doing. He's working in us. New mindsets to go to the next level in our nation and in our individual cause. See, we have a part to play in what's going on. You hear it all the time. You hear truthers saying, well, you need to find out your part in it and you need to get active in your part in it. Not everybody's supposed to go carry signs and go to rallies and all that kind of stuff. Different people have different things that God has them for them to do during this time. And that's what we're doing. All right, the Holy Spirit whispered to me this, the church's biggest problem is immaturity. You can't send babies into battle. I had someone text me this week about, oh, they knew these people had got tested positive for COVID and all this, oh, please pray this and please pray that, oh, all this mess. And I said, dear sister, you need to speak to your mountain. And that's when the Holy Spirit said, you need to get them onto the Word of God. You can't help them. All their chicken little crying and all this kind of stuff, you can't help them. They're used to, they're a baby. They're used to the way the church has been for so long. They're used to you coddling them and babying them and praying off of them. They're doing your prayer, you're praying for them. That's what they're used to. They're used to calling CNN and TBN for everything. Instead of standing up and saying, no, you won't do this, and no, you won't do that, and I forbid this, and I lose that. Lord said, you just turn them right back to the Word. Get them to start acting on the Word for themselves. Because if you don't, you cannot help them. And you're not helping them by coddling them. I'm getting less and less tolerant of it. I'm not ugly about it, but I'm thinking, how can I turn this situation around and get it back where it needs to be where, you know, a lot of times it's, well, I'll agree with you according to this scripture. See, we've got to get these people into the place where they're practicing the Word. They're using the Word to get themselves free instead of getting you to pray it off of them. That's what a baby does. Runs to mama, you know, everything's a major thing. That's okay for a real baby. But somebody's been saved 60 years, filled the Holy Ghost 60 years, you expect a little more, right? All right. The Holy Spirit, all right, Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Tossed there means to surge or fluctuate. James 1:6 talks about the double-minded man. It means to breeze up or agitate. When something comes, you start getting out of that steadiness and that peace, and you start looking at this and that, and you start all this. Here comes a storm. Who knows what caused John Mark to go home? I don't know. Probably all the persecution that Paul's company experienced. But later, after God was able to help him mature, Paul called upon him for help. In fact, he wrote Mark, I believe, Gospel of Mark. Colossians 4:11. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. And I think I'm in the wrong thing. No, it's not 11, is it? Oh, foo. Well, anyway, he calls upon Mark. He's asking for parchments. Oh, just a minute.
It's in 2 Timothy.
Okay, yeah. 2 Timothy, maybe it's 2 Timothy 4. Why did I put Colossians 4? Is it 11, 4? Yeah, it's 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So he learned from his mistakes and matured enough to be used. Seek God, not a ministry or anything else. That's what he had to do. A few more scriptures, then we'll be done. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. We seek God. We don't seek the will of someone else. Seek God. Romans 12, this is key. Romans 12, verse 1. See, by renewing your mind, you come up higher in your thinking processes to where God is bringing you up to in your walk, in your ministry or whatever. All right, this is, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't go back to the vomit, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. See, after you know the will of God, then God's grace will be there for you to perform it. For as we have many members in the body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us another, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Think about that. Wait on our ministry. He that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We have to wait. Seems to be the hardest thing for us humans to do is to wait. Yeah. We're going to read one more passage of scripture and then we're going to be done. Isaiah chapter 40. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Wait there means to bind together. By twisting, collect, or to expect. See, when we get God's mind, we are intertwined. His mind is our mind. When we are in that situation, then we can move ahead in confidence. Okay.